This is Chastity Pod, an informational resource about our favorite kink, chastity.
We're your hosts. I'm Denai Dumpling.
And I'm Locked Fist Monster.
And we're chastity veterans. In this pod, we talk about all things chastity related.
So if you're cage curious and want to begin locking up,
or a key holder who fantasizes about caging that special someone,
tune into Chastity Pod. So let's get locked and stay locked. Welcome back to Chastity Pod. We have a very special guest today. His name is KD, but most of you online probably know him as Kink3D. For most of our listeners, you're probably locked in one of his cages right now. But Denai Dumpling, for people who don't know what Kink3D is, can you explain?
Yes, Kink3D is a beloved chastity cage that jumped on the scene around 2019. We're lucky enough to have the founder, KD, with us. He's made this incredible lightweight resin chastity cage that comes in many different sizes. It has an incredible birdcage design that's so comfortable, and it's very reasonably priced for anyone who is a beginner or intermediate chastity user.
And small point of technical clarification, I think it's the name of the cage is the Cobra Cage made by Kink3D.
Oh, correct. It is the Cobra Cage. I first got my cage in 2021 of June. I've been locked in it for 2 years now, and I'm currently wearing it as we're doing this pod.
I am a terrible chastity podcast host because I am not locked at the moment. But I'm holding my Kink 3D cage, my Cobra, which I also got in 2021. I should double check, but I got it before he had come out with the line that was slightly extra wide. So mine was custom made to be extra wide at the time. Ooh, fancy.
Ooh. Hey, D, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a real pleasure to be here. And Denai Dumpling, I'm going to start off by making myself totally persona non grata on this podcast by issuing a correction right off the bat. But it's that the cages you mentioned are 3D printed resin. They are actually not resin. This is a popular misconception. A resin is a liquid material that's 3D printed and then cured. But our cages are actually made of a nylon powder that is solidified during the 3D printing process. So just a little a little technical start to our podcast. They are not resin. They're a nylon powder.
Ooh, very cool.
Are there lasers involved in the process?
Could you repeat that?
Are there lasers involved in the process?
I wish there were. There is some very cool new 3D printing technology coming out of a company called Carbon 3D, called Digital Light Synthesis, which I believe involves lasers. Ours, however, does not. Ours uses a heat lamp to fuse the material as it's being created. But sadly, no lasers are involved in the construction of these cages.
So would these cages melt under extreme heat, or what level of heat would they start melting at?
We tested it with a medical autoclave, and they did start to melt. So you can get hot enough to melt these cages. However, they will not melt if you boil them. We don't recommend boiling them extensively for cleaning because it may slightly degrade the material or leach out some of the color of the material over time. But just as a sort of floor on what you can do, you could certainly boil them at 100 degrees Celsius and it's not going to melt them. So that gives you some sense of the thermal resistance of the material.
Now, I think I first encountered you online on Reddit, and what I'm going to say was probably 2018, where I think you had made like a Reddit post or saying like, hey, I'm developing a new chastity cage, and like I want everyone's thoughts in the chastity community on this design. But what is your villain origin story? Well, how did you get into chastity? What is your history with it? What led you to decide, hey, I'm going to make my own cage?
So that's a great question. So the Cobra itself emerged as a little bit of an accident, which we'll get into in a minute, but only a little bit. It was a bit of a tangent. Where my origin story is that I've been a kinky dude for a long time, have always loved bondage and gear of all kinds, and one of those people who's been kinky for kind of as long as they can remember in their lives. So I'm sure some of your listeners can relate to that. As far as chastity, I'd known about it. I thought it was a fun kink. I had tried out some of the main products that are on the market and really hadn't found that any of them had worked for me. I'm sure that's also a story that a lot of your listeners can relate to. So I had sort of put chastity aside as a kink, much to my sadness. I had taken those devices, thrown them in a drawer, kind of thought to myself, well, this is not working for me. I just can't find something that I can wear consistently and comfortably and safely. So I'm going to go and explore all the other kinks that are out there. And every once in a while, I'd take one of those cages out and kind of dust it off and look at it longingly and think, oh, I wish I could do this. But eventually, you know, after putting it on and trying it out for maybe an hour or 2 hours or 4 hours, realize, yeah, this is really not happening. This is just not working for me. So I kind of put chastity away for a while. And the key event that happened was I was on Reddit, as you mentioned, and there's a user there who I'll give a shout out to, McQueen455. He posted some photos of himself wearing a device that was like a two-part locking cock ring. So it wasn't exactly a chastity cage. It was like the base ring of a chastity product, and then the kind of like the cage entrance, but without the actual cage part, connected together with a little lock. And he had some great photos that were taken with a high quality camera, you know, beyond potato quality for his camera. And it really caught my eye. And I thought, that's a cool idea. That's something that maybe could achieve a decent fraction of what people enjoy out of chastity, but without a lot of the drawbacks, without a lot of the comfort issues and hygiene issues. So I thought, cool, I'm gonna give that a try. So I researched a little bit. At the time, there were only two companies that were making these things. I ordered one from one of them. About 4 months later, it arrived. And I was so excited, you know, kid on Christmas type feeling, because this package arrived, and tried it on and just immediately realized this is not going to work for me. The design was, the fit and finish were really good, but the design just wasn't going to work for my anatomy. And I was so frustrated by this experience, because I had been so excited to try this product on, that in a moment of insanity, I just decided, okay, I'm going to make this thing myself. I'm going to make one of these, but that fixes some of the, what I saw as some of the drawbacks of the design on this. And everything kind of emerged from there. You know, we can kind of talk more about that product or the design process, but I worked on the design for that. And after a lot of prototyping and trials and tribulations and teaching myself how to use both 3D modeling software and learning about 3D printing, learning about materials and manufacturing, came up with some prototypes that I started posting on Reddit. And the feedback that I got was, hey, that's pretty cool, but really you ought to make a chastity cage. that's what the community is excited about. You know, that's what you ought to be focusing your time on. And kind of as a challenge to myself to actually expand my technical skills figure out, hey, can I model something that is going to be a chastity cage? Kind of as a challenge to myself to improve my design skills and my 3D modeling skills, I decided, okay, I'll give that a try and see if I can come up with a cage design. And I worked on it for a while, came up with something, posted a render on Reddit, and people seemed really excited. And the rest is history.
Did you do a lot of your work all by yourself, or did you have a team to slowly help you develop in this process?
For the first couple of years, everything was just me. It was me alone in my apartment doing the design work, the marketing, which essentially just meant chatting with people on Reddit and having sometimes very extensive threads back and forth with people on Reddit who were very patient with me as I tried to answer questions. Everything was me. The only part that was not me was the manufacturing itself. So a sort of dirty secret is I'm in the 3D printing business. I have a company whose name literally references 3D printing in the name of the company, but I have never owned a 3D printer. So all of the manufacturing has been with partners in the US who do the manufacturing and then ship us the products once they've completed them. The reason for that these days is that the type of 3D printers that we use are very large, very expensive, enterprise-grade printers that you need temperature and humidity controlled rooms for. They require a special power source.
Yeah,
they are not the kind of printer that costs $100 and you keep on a desk at home. These are printers that are used to make automotive parts, aerospace parts, biomedical parts. So it's much better for us to partner with someone who has the expertise to run those rather than trying to make them ourselves.
And with your evolution of cage design, what were the cages that you had tried and what were the features that you were like, yes, I want to include this, and no, this is awful, never on my cage?
I had tried the CB6000. I tried the Holy Trainer. I had tried for a little window of time, there was one called the Birdlocked, which had a reputation that was sort of up there with some of those other ones, but was made out of kind of a squishy silicone. I had tried, I think, some no-name metal ones. My main experience of those popular plastic mass-produced ones on the market, things like the CB6000 and the Holy Trainer, was that I couldn't wear them for any significant length of time comfortably or even safely. And that was really what influenced my experience designing the Cobra. Was from the beginning, I kind of realized that there were several axes that were important to people who were into chastity as a kink. There's aesthetics, there's security, there's comfort, there's modularity and having a variety of sizes that work for different people's anatomy. And what I realized pretty early on was that, and this is going to be a little bit of a maybe a dirty secret for some of your listeners, but I realized that all the attempts that were being made at security with trap ball style devices on the market were essentially security theater. They weren't real security. So you could have a very narrow entrance to your cage, which kind of makes it feel like maybe you're not going to be able to slip your dick out the back. But, you know, spoiler, you are going to be able to slip your dick out the back. There is just no situation where you're not going to be able to do that unless you're using a piercing to actually lock your anatomy into place in the cage. Mm-hmm. So I realized as I was testing out these models and designing that all of these types of security features were not a worthwhile trade-off. So I just threw those out and decided what's important is making a cage that people can wear for 4, 6, 8, 12, 16 hours and just and go about their day and not have to constantly be thinking, oh God, I have to take this off, or getting skin abrasion or lacerations or rubbing while they're wearing their cage. And that was really the driving philosophy for me, was making something that was going to be comfortable that people could just wear. And people often ask about, sorry, let me stop there for a minute. I've been talking too long.
Finish that thought. You had one more sentence to go.
Another aspect that I realized from some of these cages on the market was that the cage entrance, I think as I mentioned a moment ago, was very narrow.
Yeah.
And I realized that felt like a bad idea to me. And I don't actually know if the design decision of the companies that were making those was due to limitations of injection molded plastic, that you had to keep a uniform diameter all the way through the cage, or if it was because it was this sort of security theater that you try to make it narrow so it feels compressing, so it feels like you're not going to be able to pull yourself out, even though you can. But what I decided was I'd rather make the cage entrance be actually quite a bit wider, so it's easier to slip into, it's easier to get it on in the first place, so that you can avoid a lot of the kind of arcane strategies that you'll see on chastity forums, like you have to put your penis into a stocking and then pull the stocking through the cage. I just realized, why are we putting ourselves through all of this nonsense? Let's just make it easy to put the device on. Let's make the entrance wider so you can just slip yourself in. So that was a key feature of the Cobra as well.
I remember, so I started out with the CB6000 in, God, 2010. And I remember going through all of those trials and tribulations you described. It was a painfully uncomfortable cage. I think the longest I ever forced myself to wear it at one time was like 3 days. And, you know, my shaft was like horribly bruised afterwards. I remember like trying to figure out different ways of slipping my penis in through that cage. Because you're right, it's narrow at the entrance. And then like it sort of widens out to have like this weird bulbous tip at the end. What a terrible cage. My pet theory is for why CB6000 made such a terrible cage is they started off, they were probably one of the first ball trap devices on the market, And they started out thinking, oh, we should make this as accessible to as many people as possible. And we should, so that's why we're going to include all these different ring sizes. And at the same time, we're going to go with something that's vaguely penis shaped, but not like it's too complicated to actually make it actually penis shaped. So you've got that just cylinder with the bulbous end is my pet theory.
Yeah. On the other spectrum of that, when I was trying to figure out how to wear smaller cages, because nobody can really wear a large cage comfortably and with underwear and go about their day, right? Yeah. And so I was really gravitating towards smaller things like Holy Trainer was one of the few cages that I could look into. And then, of course, there's all the other metal ones on Amazon. But in terms of the Holy Trainer, you really had to not be hard. You had to lube yourself up. You had to put your penis inside of some kind of thin mesh sock, slide it in, because you know there was that bulbous head part, and if you couldn't get your penis through the diameter to meet the head, it didn't go in. Really uncomfortable. There were times when I would stay locked in the cage. I would lock myself into the cage and my penis would only be halfway into the shaft component, and over time it would just even itself out, but it was just stuffed into the cage and my head wouldn't even get to the end of the tip of the cage.
I remember for the, I should double check this, but I remember in the period starting around like 2014, 2015, my go-to cage for introducing new boys to chastity was an Amazon knockoff of the Holy Trainer. And it remained my go-to choice for the next couple of years until both the knockoff versions of the Cobra cage started appearing on Amazon and all of the metal versions, all of the knockoff metal versions appeared on Amazon for like $20, $30. What are your feelings in regards to the knockoff versions of your product that have appeared everywhere, that are ubiquitous?
Not surprisingly, I have mixed feelings about all of those. I was warned early on to expect that, but I would say that the speed and the aggressiveness that some of those knockoff producers have moved what exceeded my expectations. On the one hand, of course, it feels to a certain extent flattering, and it feels like a validation of the design decisions that we've made because people clearly want to buy them. However, it hurts a lot to see them out there because, of course, it was a lot of work that went into the design. And even before anything got sold or even before the company got made, there was a huge amount of work in testing and tweaking and prototyping and optimizing the design. It also is a little bit frustrating because a big part of the fun of this job for me is going on Twitter or going on Reddit and looking at all the posts that are out there and seeing people who are enjoying our products and engaging with them and then engaging with those people. And since there have been knockoffs, now I need to have a little bit more of an eagle eye. And with each one of the ones I see, think for a moment, is that a knockoff or is that not? And make that determination before I engage. I'm in the position where I've been working with these for long enough that I can pretty much tell right away if something's a knockoff based on if I see injection molding seams or other little telltale signs. But I know that a lot of other people on the market can't. One thing that's tricky about the knockoffs is that we see out there is that some of them match pretty well with the sizes that we have, and some really don't. So it's very hard to give advice for people who are wearing them, for people who try them on and use them as a tester to see what size might be right for them. Sometimes it'll work quite well and we'll be able to give advice, but other times the sizing really won't match up. So that is just something that people should be aware of when they're trying them for that purpose, is you might get lucky and be able to use it quite well as a tester, and you might not, depending on what the specific manufacturer and source was.
Interestingly enough, my partner actually bought a knockoff Pink 3D cage because he has a very wide penis and he's always very nervous about spending large amounts of money because he's spent so much already on cages that don't fit. The tester that he bought was, of course, a knockoff before he bought the real thing. And although the sizing was quite nice, he felt like it fit. It was the first cage that he ever could wear for more than 4 days. He hated how poorly made the seams were where the two parts meet. And so I have to say that after he got his cage from Kink 3D, he was very pleased to find how the two parts met, and there were no sharp edges. He didn't have to sand anything down. There was no give. There is definitely a major difference in quality, and you get what you pay for with the Kink 3D cages.
Thank you. No, I think that that's right. We see a lot of posts online of people saying that they've put on a cage, they wore it for maybe a day or 2 days, and then it actually cracked. And they're so sad about this. And we have to alert them, hey, that's a knockoff. That's going to happen with an FDM, a print. But with the type of technology that we use, we essentially advertise them as being erection proof. If someone sends us an email to our customer service and says that they broke their Cobra cage in the course of normal, let's say normal use, we will replace it for free. Now, there are some circumstances outside normal use where we won't do that. In fact, one of the highest incidents of the Cobra cages breaking is when dogs get them as chew toys. That actually seems that's one of the biggest risks to these cages, is people's dogs will get them and just destroy them. And we try to be nice about giving a bit of a discount when that happens. But the cages essentially almost never break in the course of normal wear, normal use. And that's due to the manufacturing. And when it comes to the seams and the sharp edges and things like that that you mentioned, denied dumpling, that also has to do with the post-processing that we use, which is a really a very new and very cool kind of chemical vapor smoothing, where you take the print, you put it in a self-contained automated machine, that essentially bathes the parts in a proprietary solvent that seals and smooths the outside layer, which is really important for porosity, so you don't get odors that absorb into the parts, as well as making them very, very smooth. And the knockoffs are definitely not using that.
The Kink 3D cages are really just silky smooth. There was another company that came out with 3D print cages a couple of years before you called Ovotion Wearables. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all. And I got one of their earliest cages back in, I'm going to say, 2016. And the trouble with them was that they were doing this early enough that the quality really just wasn't there. Like, it was a very rough cage. It was an intriguing idea. It was, I think, the first 3D printed cages I had seen on the market, but the quality was just too rough. And also, their designs were nowhere near as advanced, as aesthetically pleasing as yours.
I think I got into this at the right place at the right time, and I feel very lucky about that. If I had tried to start this business 5 years before when I did, or maybe even 2 to 3 years before when I did, I don't think it would have been possible. We have really ridden the wave of additive manufacturing technologies, which basically means 3D printing and kind of associated technologies, as they have rolled out in the market. And we continue to do that. We continue to keep an eye on the new technologies that are coming out and are really excited to use them and to leverage them as they come out. But I think that's exactly right. We hit exactly the right moment to use the minimum technologies to make a really, really high quality premium 3D printed product that just didn't exist much before we started.
Now, did you happen to know all this about 3D printing before you got into this, or did you just learn all of this on the go?
I knew absolutely nothing when I started. I made a lot of very embarrassing mistakes when I started.
You're just an angry nerd who wanted to lock his dick in a cage, damn it, and you're gonna find a way to
No,
do
that
it.
that is exactly right. I am a very obsessive person, and when I decided that this was the thing I was going to focus on, I just became very obsessed and very focused on it, and really wanted to optimize it. And I didn't know anything about modeling. And this is another place where having the right technologies available, in this case, both YouTube to learn to watch the tutorials to learn how to do the modeling, as well as then the software itself that we use, which is Autodesk Fusion 360, was crucial. If those things hadn't been there, this company wouldn't exist. And most importantly, if that modeling software hadn't been free, probably this company wouldn't exist. Because at the time, this was just a silly hobby for me. And I wasn't in a position or wasn't going to spend several hundred dollars to get a license for that technology when it was just me kind of messing around in my apartment. So the fact that it was available as a hobbyist was critical and was one of many places where I think we were just so fortuitous luck was on our side. And when it came to the 3D printing, no, similarly, it took a lot of experimenting, a lot of prototyping, a lot of going down wrong paths. The first ever part that I made was with a place that was local here in the Bay Area, because I didn't know where to look. So I just looked on Yelp and typed in 3D printing on Yelp and went with the first place I found and printed a model. The guy gave me a very funny look when he saw what it was. This was at the time for the locking cock ring. It wasn't even for the chastity cage, but it seemed that he had some awareness of what it was intended for. But it was made out of a material that's called PLA, which is basically made out of corn and will melt in the sun. So that did not go very well as far as a first print, but I didn't know any better. So it was a gradual process to arrive at where we're at now, which is actually using very advanced technologies that produce some really cool kind of next generation tech.
Something that's really amazing about the Cobra is that it's breathable. It's a kind of birdcage design where it's very open. How did you decide that that was the design you wanted to go with, compared to Holy Trainer, which was completely occlusive?
I knew from the start that I wanted to make it hygienic. I wanted it to be breathable and easy to wear while you're in the shower, so you can get soap and water in there and ideally take it off as little as possible, because that's kind of the dream for chastity. So I knew that I wanted it to have a lot of open areas. And that was really what the process of design looked like, was having wide, flat bars that felt like they would minimize the amount of pressure on the skin while still leaving a lot of open areas for hygiene and for cleaning.
Do you feel a little dirty secret, or maybe not so secret, special satisfaction knowing that you have over tens of thousands of boys locked because of this passion project of your own?
Absolutely. It's incredibly gratifying. Of course, it's been fun to see the business grow, to be able to hire people, to be able to now, of course, make this my full-time work, or more significantly over my full-time work. but it's also really fun to see the reaction from the community and to hear feedback from people who are so gracious with replying and telling us their experiences of wearing these cages and how it's helped them to feel more like themselves. It's helped them to, of course, explore their sexuality. It's helped them to improve their relationships. People tell us these really wonderful stories of how finding a cage that worked for them and that they could wear long-term really had a kind of a dramatic effect on their lives. And to me, that is so cool and speaks to the essence of this podcast, right? Chastity Pod, that this is, it's a kink that people hold very deeply, or at least some people do, and that fills more than just a superficial role in their lives. It's something that for at least some people, when they find that device that lets them live out their desire for this kink, it actually is really meaningful to them. So that's been very cool to hear that.
I think one of the great benefits of being in the 3D printing age is that you were able to scale up relatively easily. Because I know that a lot of chastity cage manufacturers, what happens is that they start making cages, they make pretty good cages, the cages take off, they get swamped by orders, and then everyone starts complaining about how long it takes to get a cage. And I can think of a few off the top of my head. And I think for all of them, the case has been that essentially, especially for the ones who are custom guys working in metal, that it starts off as, you know, just them alone in the machine shop making these things, and that doesn't scale up nicely at all.
I think that's right. I think we've navigated the scaling pretty well, not perfectly, but pretty well. Where the 3D printing really came in was in scaling out the size lineup. That's something where when I started doing this, I expected I'd have two, maybe three sizes, just because that's what everyone else was doing. And I figured, well, they're doing it, so guess I'll do that too. That was totally wrong. Very quickly, as I got feedback from people, I realized that more sizes were going to be necessary. People would say, hey, this cage is great, but it's a little too narrow. Can you make a wide one? Or, hey, I tried this size and this other size. Can you make one that's halfway in between in terms of the length? And the answer to basically all of his questions was just, yes, sure, why not? I was so excited and so grateful that people were taking a chance on me. And in a lot of cases had already spent money with me to get a cage. This is probably not the right approach for a lot of businesses, but I am kind of a people pleaser at heart. And I felt like, well, they've already spent money with me. I really need to do something so that they're fully satisfied and they're fully happy with their product. So I would just make that size as a result of the feedback that they gave. And then a lot of times that became incorporated into our actual lineup of sizes. And so 3D printing allowed us to do that because it gave the flexibility to, on the spur of the moment, add another size if we wanted to, or tweak an existing size or modify things. So it made it much, much more flexible to build out the company.
Speaking of custom requests to cage designs, my sole frustration with your cage designs is I'm pierced because I like being secure. And the only way to wear a piercing with your cage is to have the ring through. I'm holding up the cage so that he can see it on the Zoom call. To have the cage on your penis and to have the ring that goes through your penis and around the bar at the base. The trouble for me is always that as I move around during the day, inevitably there gets to be some flesh between the ring and the bar and it pinches. And the only way I've gone around that is with cages that have an integrated Prince Albert pin, like this one from Badass Workroom. So do you have any plans in the future to make an integrated Prince Albert pin into your lineup of cages?
I would love to offer that in the future. It's not on the immediate roadmap. Figuring out how to do that while accommodating all the different gauges of piercings and also diameters of piercings is quite challenging. There's also some materials R&D that we would have to do because as far as I know, the only totally sterile and safe kind of material for internal use would be something like stainless steel. It would be a metal. So we would have to source those metal parts from somewhere and figure out how to have them custom made and integrated with the 3D printed design. It might be safe enough using the vapor smoothing that we're using, which seals the outer layer of the 3D printing, to make that PA hook directly out of the 3D printed material. But we would want to do more research to make sure about that, because I definitely would not want to have someone using something not sterile and then having an unsafe outcome.
I volunteer for research.
I appreciate that. We always like testers.
Also, I think if you check out your competitor Evotion Wearables, I think that they've made some 3D printed cages that have like a titanium PA hook built into it. So I think they've struggled with the same issue that you've described. I haven't tried any of their recent cages, so I don't know if they've solved it or not.
I know some of our customers are wearing PAs successfully with our cages, as you mentioned, by looping the piercing jewelry around the lower bar on the head area of the Cobra cage. But it is really dependent on each person's individual anatomy. And what we found is it depends a lot on the delta between the gauge of the piercing and the amount of space that's between the bars of the cage. If there's the wrong amount of space, then you get that chance for pinching. If the piercing just barely fits between the bars of the cage, that can actually work pretty well because there's no room for skin to get in between there. But if there's more room and there's enough movement, then skin can get between there and pinch.
So what you're saying is I need to gauge up my Prince Albert.
That might be what I'm saying.
or buy another cage from you that's just a little bit narrower around the ring.
Make a special request. It sounds like he's able to do it.
I probably should clarify at this point. Right now, we are not open for custom business. I used to do a lot of custom, and it became unsustainable with scaling the business. We definitely hope to move back to that. And in fact, maybe this is a little plug, hope to hire someone to help us with modeling specifically custom projects in the future and take over that side of the business. So we hope to reopen that, but at the moment, it's not something that we're doing.
So if you are a Chastity fanatic who's also really good at 3D modeling, good news, Kink 3D might be hiring soon.
That is the case, especially if you are in the SF Bay Area, then get in touch.
And come to think of it, you know, if all it really is the delta between the gauge and the narrowness of the bars, you could fairly easily come up with a line of cages that meet a line of different gauges, because all of the gauges are standard. You know, the gauges are 0 gauge, 2 gauge, 4 gauge, etc. You could fairly easily just match the gauge.
So there are a couple of caveats there. One is there are a lot of sizes of Cobra cages at this point. We have almost 20 sizes of the cages between the different lengths and then the different widths. So carrying all of those in inventory as it is has been quite a challenge from a logistics perspective. So multiplying that by the number of gauges would be, I think, quite difficult to achieve.
You mean you can't keep 200 individual different cages in inventory?
My head of operations, Paul, will not forgive me if I tell all of your listeners that we can start doing that. So I think, unfortunately, the answer is no.
Speaking of custom requests, is there anything new that's coming up that's exciting and that you'd like to share with our fans?
We just announced a few weeks ago and have now opened pre-orders for our first color other than black, which is really exciting to me. The color is called Fusion Pink. It's a very bright, very bold kind of atomic fusion energy glowing style of pink. And other than black, pink has been by far the biggest request for color that we've gotten. So I'm really happy to be able to offer that to people. It was a major R&D effort to make those. We thought we had nailed it about 2 years ago, and then ran into a bunch of problems, realized that the manufacturing we were doing did not scale, and that it was actually very hard to produce really high quality, smooth, durable, high accuracy color 3D prints at scale. So we battened down the hatches and went back to our R&D and worked on it for a while, and now we're ready. So those are going to be coming out soon. Team Locked Chastity Twitter will be getting a lot brighter, so I am very excited about that, and I can't wait to see some of your listeners wearing them and showing them off on Twitter.
Why is color so challenging? As somebody who knows nothing about 3D printing, it would not seem like it would be.
There are a few issues that we ran into. The first was that color replication itself was hard. So we are using a technology that actually prints the cages directly in color. So rather than printing and then dyeing them, they are printed and then the outer surface is actually infused with the pink color during the 3D printing process itself. What we found was that making that pink come out in the color that we wanted reliably was quite a challenge. So we had to do a lot of testing of very specific RGB values of pink. So we did many, many prototypes of many different RGB values to find one that we thought looked great as we scaled up the production. So that was one problem. Another problem was that, and this is something that I did not expect at all as we went into it, we actually found that different colors absorb different amounts of heat during the 3D printing process, which means that it's very slightly changes the dimensions of the part that gets produced. Now, this doesn't matter so much for, say, the length of the cage. If something is 90 millimeters versus 90.1 millimeters, that doesn't really matter for how it's going to fit, but it does matter very significantly for the interface, because where the cage connects to the base ring, we need a very snug, very well-fitting interface so that it doesn't pinch. So we ended up having to do quite a bit of R&D specifically on that interface to correct for those dimensional changes to make the interface work properly.
Yeah. Your cages have absolutely no give. It's fantastic. I have one cage that I wear frequently, my badass workroom cage. That one, when I initially got it, I had an issue with it in that the pin length was 1/16 of an inch, ever so slightly off. And that meant that there was constant pinching until my husband went in there and filled up the little pinhole with like just 1/16 of an inch of, I don't know what it was, plastic, resin, glue or something. And so that now it no longer pinches. Like people, until you've been locked in a cage, I don't think people realize how much just the tiniest, tiniest distances matter.
That's absolutely right. In our case, we dial in the dimensions on the interface to the 0.1 millimeter level. So we'll do testing at increments of 0.1 millimeter until we find what we think is the perfect dimensions for that interface, which is very, very, very small.
Now, to switch gears entirely from the manufacturer cages to the use of cages, are you a consumer of your own products? Are you locked yourself?
I'm always testing out our latest prototypes. I definitely have an attitude of dog fooding, right? That you should always be eating your own dog food when you're making it. And I will always test out the latest thing that I'm trying to make to make sure that it works the way that I think and hope that it will.
And do you consider yourself more of a sub, more of a switch, a dominant locked guy? Where do you fall on the kink spectrum?
I fall personally more on the dom side, but definitely am a switch and kind of consider myself an all-around kinkster. One of the cool things about running the business has been hearing all the different use cases of our customers who use Chastity. And we can talk a little bit more about this if you want, but I would say that is actually one of the what I call kind of one of the misconceptions of Chastity is that only subs are locked. As we've talked to a variety of customers, we've heard from a lot of people who are dominant or who are switches and just like locking because it allows them to build up their arousal, to kind of power up their erotic energy. And then maybe they take that out on their sub at the end of the day when they get unlocked or maybe not unlocked. But there are many, many different use cases for Chastity, and it's definitely not just subs or just bottoms that lock.
I'm one of those. I'm a switch and I'm verse, and I'm in and out of cages fairly frequently, and how I use my cages vary significantly. Sometimes I like to be locked in sort of in a submissive mood. Sometimes I like to be locked and to be a relatively dominant bottom and be like, you boy are shoving your hands up inside my hole now. It varies widely.
Mm-hmm. One of the major questions that a lot of the people who've asked me personally, and I'm sure have also asked Lockfist in regards to sizing, is they size themselves. They think they order the first cage. They think that's the right size. And then it's not perfect. Is there any advice you can give in terms of how they can best get their size?
Sizing is always one of the hardest parts with Chastity for sure. We invest a lot in dedicated customer service to try to help walk people through this. So the first thing is if you're not sure, definitely email us, support@kink3d.com. There's also a great Reddit community, which is just rkink3d, where people can get help. But really for personalized help, emailing us is the way to go. And we will do what we can to try to get you locked in the best size possible. It's always hard though. We partner with a few stores, Mr. S Leather being the first of those, our first in-person partner that we are so excited to have joined up with a few years ago. So you can go into their store in San Francisco. We now actually also work with a store called Regulation in London where you can go in and it works a little differently. At the moment, they're not carrying the products, but they provide a service where you can try on all our sizes and figure out which one works best for you and then get a discount to use on our websites. We also hope to keep coming to a wider range of events where people can try them on in person. So we did this at a Claw and IML this year. We're going to be at Dory. We're going to be at Folsom. We hope to keep doing more like that, where there are opportunities for people to come in person in different cities at different times and try them on to find the best fit possible.
Fun fact, I just topped a twink last week who in London who had earlier that day got it sized at Regulation.
Oh, that's great to hear. Regulation is a fantastic store. It's really cool to hear that people are using that service. And if people do buy a cage that doesn't end up fitting them quite right, there are a few options. One is there's actually a different subreddit, our Kink3D Exchange, where people can buy and sell. So if you have some pieces that maybe aren't quite working for you, or you're looking for a piece and you want to get a discount, that's a good place to look. Yeah.
And so the events that you've done this year are Claw, IML, you're going to do Dory and Folsom. Are you going to keep trying to expanding to more more events next year? Do you have any that are like particularly on your list that you're excited to try?
We're looking at a few possibilities for next year in addition to those. MAL is definitely a big one that we would love to be at. So we're looking at the logistics for that. It would also be really fun to go to some international ones, but we don't have any of those on our roadmap at this point.
So last year you had Zach Snow as your booth babe. How do you line up booth babes? If someone wants to be your booth babe, how should they reach out to you?
If we're already following them on Twitter, then they can slide into my DMs and let me know. That is always very welcome. Otherwise, if you're interested, just use an at King3D Designs and tweet at us, and we'll see if we can make that happen. One of the cool things about running this business has been sort of the blurred boundaries between customers and friendship and then business opportunities. So a lot of the people who end up as Chastity booth babes for us are just people that I've been chatting about for a while and have been customers of ours, and where we've had a chat going for a long time, getting them kitted out in the best cage for them. And then things have evolved from there. So I suspect that we will have a lot more opportunities like that. Yeah.
Well, KD, thank you so much for coming onto the show today. If people want to buy your cages or get in contact with you or find more about you, where can they go online?
The most important place is kink3d.com. That's our website. And if they want to email us, support@kink3d.com is the place to do that. We are on Twitter @kink3ddesigns. So add us on there. Or we have our own subreddit, which is rkink3d.
Now, quick question with the @kink3ddesigns. Is that @kink3d and then the word designs? Or is the D in 3D part of designs?
That's correct. So there are two D's, @kink3d and then the word designs after that. We'll see what happens with a certain man who owns Twitter and whether he follows up on his promise/threat to recycle abandoned accounts. We might get kink3d in the future, but at the moment, kink3d designs.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
We are very, very happy that we got to speak with someone who made the cages that we both use. Very excited to run into you at Dory Alley later this year.
I'm excited to see you there.
Awesome.
This is Chastity Pod, a passion project brought to you by two chastity enthusiasts. I'm Locked Fist Monster.
And I'm Denai Dumpling, and you're listening to The Sweet Sound of Chastity by Boys Noize and Pussy Riot featuring Alice Glass.
If you like our content and want to stay connected, follow us at ChastityPod on Twitter.
That's @ChastityPod on Twitter. We'll see you there. Я твоя господь.